everybody. Welcome to When Calls the Hallmarkies. This is our season 8 preview of When Calls the Heart. It's finally here. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting since last April to have a new season of When Calls the Heart. It's very exciting. I am film critic Rachel Wagner. Caroline's here.
Hey.
And Ruth Hill is here.
Hey, nice to be back.
Yes, so great to have you. And what is the plan for this season for Hallmarkies Podcast is the three of us are going to be covering the show, but the plan is to cover the premiere and then to go on a bi-weekly coverage where we cover two episodes at a time, unless there's like something super epic, and then maybe we'll come back. We'll play it by ear a little bit, but that's kind of the plan for now. And we're really excited about it. We also have, if you want more coverage, Hardy's Hotline is another podcast that you can listen to if you want weekly recaps with Cammie and Casey. So check that out over there. But we are going to be doing, there's 12 episodes this season, and we are going to be doing the bi-weekly coverage. So I'm really excited. Ruth, are you excited for new season?
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean this season, what makes this season a little unique for me is I'm employed by one of the cast members, so
yeah,
that kind of makes it. So if I didn't have a favorite couple before, I really have no choice now, you know. It's like, I mean, you know, but thankfully I'm working for one of my favorite, you know, half of one of my favorite couples, so it's all right.
You're getting, if people don't know, Ruth is what's your official position?
I am the executive assistant to Paul Green.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if we're a bit pro Paul Green on this podcast, that's why. But he's great. We love Dr. Yeah. Carson, and we love Paul. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And Caroline, so they ended on quite this cliffhanger. And how have you been, just stressing out this last, since April?
Yes, because you just don't, like, you think you know where it's going. And then you're like, oh, but what about this? What about that? But I mean, that ending, I mean, it was epic ending. So
she seemed to make a choice. It's going to be very interesting. So what I thought would be fun to kind of have some framework for this preview is we'd go over each character and kind of talk about some of the interviews that we've seen, some previews, all that fun stuff, character by character. And we'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments or on Twitter. So make sure that you are following us all over there. And let's start off talking about the queen bee herself, Elizabeth Thornton, played by Erin Krakow. And I think the big thing that we see, of course, she seems to have made a choice at the end of season 7. And then we see her in the preview taking off her ring. Mm. And so that's her wedding ring. Ruth, what did you think about that when you saw that?
Well, I think it means that she's ready to move on, which I think is a great thing. I mean, you can tell it's a struggle for her, as you knew it would be. I'm probably not like a lot of the Hardys, where I'm not sitting here with bated breath saying, oh no, who is she going to choose? I'm really not.
You don't have a team?
Nope, I really don't. I am, as I told Erin last year, I am Team Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And whomever she chooses, I am perfectly fine. I am willing to go either way. I think early on, I was Team Lucas. I would say only just because of the connection that I made with Chris McNally. But I really... I honestly, to be completely honest, I don't care who she chooses. Hmm.
Caroline, what about you? You're also Team Elizabeth. We know that.
I'm Team Elizabeth, yes.
Team Erin.
Team Erin.
What do you feel about this moment of her taking off the ring?
It's a powerful moment, I think, like, because you see her, we watched her grieve the loss in season 5 finale, and then we see her move on having baby Jack, and now it just seems like it's a natural progression of her taking the ring off. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be emotional, and I think they are going to tie Jack into it. Like, maybe, I don't know how, but I think they are, and it's just going to be powerful.
Yeah, she says that for too long, I've allowed myself to drift between two good men. Mm-hmm. So now and she says in another interview in the Entertainment Weekly, I think, interview, she says that that Elizabeth has to overcome emotional hurdles, and that there's going to be a decision. Mm-hmm. And she also says that we will give you a smattering of clues. That's what she said. And also when they asked her, is there a kiss or big hard hitting moment in season 8 with Elizabeth? And she's like squealed. That was her answer.
Caroline squealed too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it is a big moment for her taking off the ring, because it's such a visual sign of her, you know, marriage to Jack, and such an important sign of her moving on to the world. Mm-hmm. So for her to do that, I think is a pretty important moment for the character, and even if she were to pick neither of them, that would be a big mm-hmm. moment taking off the ring. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and she does say that it takes her most of season 8 to get there. So I think we're going to be somewhat frustrated. Like, come on, make a choice. But
I think she chooses between the two guys early on. But I think the main struggle is going to be taking off the ring. Like, I think that's going to be the struggle. My guess.
And she also did say that if I have anything to say about it, nobody is leaving town. Mm-hmm. Says the loser takes it like a champ. So yeah, and of course she's going to be really involved with all the other characters, of course, also at the school. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see her kind of grow there, and also she has her plot lines with her book being published. I guess she gets $200, so she's pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think of Caroline, of Elizabeth being a writer, an author?
I'm excited to see what the book storyline is going to be this year, like how they handle her being a published author mm-hmm. now, and mm-hmm. how, like, if she does like a press tour, you know, and how Lucas plays into that, and somebody else that comes into Hope Valley, how she does, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think that'll be really interesting too. I wasn't super into the plot line with Elizabeth writing, because I really don't like that whole, like, how dare you submit my book. I don't know, to me that's just a little ridiculous, but I think that now we're going to talk a little bit about Lucas and his mother. We're involving that. To me, that makes it a little more interesting, of a dynamic, with her wanting to get published and everything. What do you think about that, about Elizabeth being a writer, Ruth?
Oh, I think it's awesome. I think that keeps it actually keeps in so much with the spirit of the original story. I don't know if it was necessarily in Jeanette Oak's original writings, but a lot of her characters do. I think it's great. I love that they're exploring that. It seems like another facet of Elizabeth, that now she's so accomplished. I guess that's the mm-hmm. thing. It's really nice again to see this very strong woman. She's a single mom, she's a teacher, now she's a writer, and she's able to support herself without having to run home to her parents and get mm-hmm. money or anything like that. And so I like that.
Yeah, it's true. And it kind of, I feel like, goes in theme with this style of story. I mean, you think you have like Anna Green Gables, and Shirley, she's a writer.
Yeah.
Joe March and Little Women is a writer. Yeah. It's kind of a on theme kind of thing going on. And I think it gives her connection to Lucas, which is important. Yeah. So we're pretty excited about where things are going with Elizabeth, what's going to happen. Obviously, she is the lead character of the show. So it's going to be a lot of interesting stuff going on. But let's dive in a little bit more into Nathan and Lucas. Mm-hmm. So we did hear from Kevin where he said that there's more red herrings than a zoo. What do you think about when he said that, Caroline?
The more red herrings in zoo, it made me laugh.
Yeah.
And I, because they just, they love to egg on, I think, the, like, the triangle mess. Mm-hmm. So it's just fun to see, like, because they're all friends. Yeah. So it's just fun to see how they play with it and stuff. But
yeah, I'm excited. Chris McNally said that the three of them didn't even know the ending while they were filming, which is interesting. So it kind of kept them excited, which I think should add to sort of the tension of the whole triangle. Should be pretty fun. And one thing we didn't mention is there's a new showrunner this season, and John Tinker. And he's done a ton of different shows. He's a writer for Chesapeake Shores, which is not my favorite show, but he's done a lot of other ones, Judge and Amy.
Well, I'm sorry, I was just going to interrupt, but just he was only the showrunner for the first season of Chesapeake Shores. Okay.
And that was the best one.
Yeah. So understand that he is, the first season of Chesapeake Shores is different than how it is now.
Yeah, that's true.
Understand that. And so I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just
No, thank you for doing that. No, I agree. Actually, I think that the first season of Chesapeake Shores is much better than the later seasons. There's just a little bit more heft to it. But yeah, he did Judging Amy, Chicago Hope, Saint Elsewhere, a ton of different shows. So that's gonna be interesting to see what he brings to the table as far as the different dynamic.
And he's really active on social media, which is fun. So I like that.
Hopefully we can get him to come on the podcast. Yes. That would be fun. Yeah. Are you excited to have a new voice, Ruth? New writer?
Oh, I love John. We go back to Chesapeake Shores. That's when we connected and we've been friends since then. So
have you interviewed him?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, cool. Let's talk about Nathan first. Mm-hmm. So Kevin says that we are going to get a little bit more into Nathan and that he's going to start to be a little more direct. And we're also going to find out more about why there's this awkwardness that is something in Nathan's past. Mm. And Ruth, what do you think about that? You look forward to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would like to see more. I honestly feel like we don't know much about Nathan. I realize we don't know a whole lot about Lucas, but I think we've been able to, I think that we've seen more interaction with Lucas. You don't know everything about him. I realize that, but I feel like sometimes Nathan is he's just like the straight-laced Mountie, and you don't really get to know who he is. He's straight-laced, and then he's busy taking care of Allie, and and so you see all that. You don't, I sometimes feel like he hasn't, because he's not as direct as Lucas, he's maybe missed out on getting to connect with Elizabeth as much.
Yeah. I mean, we got to know his father last season.
Yes, that's true.
So that's about the most we've gotten to know about his past.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think about that, Caroline?
I'm excited to know more about, like, Nathan. mm-hmm. and like why he's so hesitant to mm-hmm. get close to Elizabeth, because I think it might be something that like maybe he doesn't want to hurt Elizabeth because mm-hmm. he knows about Jack and all that stuff. So I don't know if it's about a sister or something else, but I just mm-hmm. think it's going to be an emotional like storyline mm-hmm. with Nathan and Elizabeth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said that Nathan has heartbreak in his past, but it's, quote, a different kind of heartache.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting to see mm-hmm. if it's kind of maybe similar to what Dr. Carson maybe went through, maybe. Thinking maybe.
Maybe.
It's hard to know, but it's intriguing. And I think Kevin's a pretty good actor, so I think that will be good to see him get to dig a little deeper than he's had before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then about Lucas. So Chris said that people could get quite hurt depending on the outcome mm-hmm. of going on. And we are going to get introduced to Lucas's mother is coming on the show. I don't know. I forgot to look up the actress who's going to be Terrell. Playing his mother.
It's Terrell Rothery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be good.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah,
they look so cute together in the promos. I'm like, she's just so tiny and he's so tall. They're mm-hmm. just cute. Yeah.
Terrell's awesome. Terrell's awesome.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting because, so what do we know about Lucas so far? We knew he was in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. He's been a bunch of other places. He had kind of... What else do we know about him with the whole thing, the reveal with he was hiding the money from, it's going back like two seasons. Caroline, you would remember.
with Amos and stuff.
Like
protecting his friend.
Right. Do you remember that?
That's why he went to New Orleans, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then he came up to Hope Valley trying to hide the money, right?
Yeah, he bought the saloon sight unseen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see.
He likes to take risk, apparently.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So he has been in back and forth with Gowan.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gowan had the oil and mm-hmm. There was, if he was hiding the numbers, if he was successful or not, he was successful, wasn't successful. Well, in the preview, Gowan tells Lucas to buy him out if he thinks he can run the company better.
Okay. He
says, Chris says something like that Lucas is in over his head and kind of needs Gowan to come back. Was that what you got, Caroline?
That's what I think. Like he bit off more than he can chew and now he needs Gowan back.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see them work together. I want to see Henry and Lucas. Yeah. We need more of that. Like I miss having the guys work together, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Are they equal owners at this point? Do you remember of the oil? Well,
at the end of season 7, I thought Lucas, that's what I call Chris. I thought Lucas bought out
guys. I thought he did too, but then I can't remember.
I don't
know. Because they were having difficulties paying the workers, so Lucas was helping pay the workers like with his own money.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember exactly how it was resolved. I'm sure they'll give us like a little like remember last time, because I didn't have time to rewatch the whole season before this preview. So forgive us if you remember exactly. Please put in the comments and help us out.
I think he did too.
But just couldn't remember for sure. So that day, I think it's going to be really good with Lucas and his mother mm-hmm. and also all the stuff with Gowan. I think they're mm-hmm. going to have a lot for him to do. So, and then you have Kevin and he's dealing with his past and those things. So I think we're going to mm-hmm. get some deeper look at both characters. And I didn't ask you, Caroline, which team are you on before we finish off with these three?
I am Team Elizabeth, but right now I'm leaning Mounty.
Uh-huh.
Just because, I mean,
Team Nathan.
It's Mounty, and so I like Mounty right now.
Yeah.
Once you go mountain, you never go back.
By the way, we have team shirts at our merch stores. People should check that out. Team Nathan, Team Lucas, and Team Elizabeth, and Team Baby Jack.
And Team Little Team Little Jack.
So check those out. We would really appreciate it.
Team Hickam.
Team Hickam, Team Bill. Yeah. We're all the teams. We've got it. So I actually am Team Lucas just because I just think it would make a way more interesting television show if she, I think that it makes more sense for her to pick Nathan. But I just think it makes more interesting television for her to not pick the Mountie again, pick somebody a little bit more different, a little more challenging. I think it would make more interesting TV. So as a TV viewer, I say Team Lucas. That's my opinion, but it'll be fine either way.
It will be fun to see like how Lucas would handle being like a parent, but seeing seeing Allie and little Jack and Nathan and Elizabeth be a family just be cute too.
Yeah. I mean, it makes the most sense logically. I just think having her make the more illogical choice is more interesting as a television viewer. That's my only thing. But speaking of Bill, let's talk a little bit about Bill. In this mini preview, Jack Wagner, he says that there is going to be a flirtation with a mini romance going on. And it's just that someone we know and her hair is red. That's what he says. So, there we go.
Well.
Yeah. So I think
Julie, I'm kidding.
I think Flo Mo are gonna be having some fun going on in the season with Bill. and he also said that Bill is spending a lot of time with the apron on. So he's like part judge, part Mountie, part cook.
Yeah.
And so that'll be fun. I said last season that I liked Bill much better as a judge than as a Mountie.
Yes.
I think that's like his place because he's kind of judgy and he's good at like telling people how to live their lives. And that's like his sweet spot. So I thought he was great.
And I like him as like the father figure for the town seeing him giving the advice and stuff is just so sweet. Yeah. Like he took the Abigail spot, I guess. And I like him in that role better than just Bill, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like old Mountie Bill.
Yeah, before Bill was more, I'm just going to break all the rules and do whatever I want. And not that he can't bend the rules, but I feel like he's found his spot. I'm agreeing with you guys totally. I think it's cool to see him.
Well, and Jack also said that the character spends a lot of time mentoring Elizabeth and Clara.
That's sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's sweet. And so that'll be fun. I think I can dig a Molly and Bill romance. I think that'll be really good.
And Flo supposed to be getting a romance too, maybe. So both of them having something.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Oh, that'll be really fun. All right. Well, let's talk about Carson and Faith. Mm-hmm. And so this is going to be very interesting because Faith is returning from medical school. Mm-hmm. And so she'll be a doctor, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so that will. Or, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're
assuming that, but I don't know if there's been anything specific that said that she
just says returning. Yeah.
It just says she's returning. We don't know. She may not be a full-fledged doctor yet. I don't know. It's my problem is I don't know all of the requirements for becoming a doctor at that time.
She has to do an apprentice. Like, she has to work under a doctor.
I'm wondering if she has to come back and do some kind of what we would call residency, but whatever it was called back then. I'm not exactly sure.
Because my hope is that there might be a little bit of conflict between, like, in an entertaining way, between Carson and Faith, as, like, now she's a doctor too. And so there's kind of the two doctors in Hope Valley is kind of a lot. And are they going to have different opinions on diagnosis? I think that could be an interesting dynamic if they play into that.
I missed the medical stuff last year with Carson and Faith.
And I
want to see that back, because I love seeing them work together. Like, I love that dynamic in season six and five, like, them working together.
I still think the best episode ever for Carson was when he had to operate on his sister-in-law. I still think that was the best.
That was a really good one.
Episode that was really good.
When you saw that spark between them, like, when
I do know something special happens that, and this has been said, so I can say it. It has been out there. For the first episode coming up, there will be an original song that Carson sings. That Paul wrote it for the show. And he serenades Faith.
Cute.
And he has talked it up. It's a song called that. It's not. He's working on the official release. I'm hoping that he gets it released. I think his hope is to have it released by the time the first episode airs. He's working on it, but he has sung the song. Sorry, it's a song called Waves of Time. If you happen to look at any of his. And he does all these live concerts on Facebook and YouTube and stuff. And you might be able to catch it, because he's sung it. So that's a really cool thing I'm looking forward to seeing, because music hasn't been a huge part of the show. I mean, they've done little bits here and there, and it was really cool. My understanding is that John Tinker was open to this, or suggested or something like that, and so I think that's gonna be a fun thing I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
this episode for sure.
Me too. Yeah, that sounds really good. Yeah. We only had one tiny little bit of preview from Fiona. All it said is one line where she says that she starts an exciting venture. So whatever that means, because she lost her job at the end of last season.
Right.
There's this clip from, I think it was the Australian channel that plays When Calls the Heart. And it's a picture of Hickam running out of a salon or and his, he's like, don't pass out. And Fiona is there too.
So she might have a barbershop maybe or something like that.
Yeah. And he's like, don't pass out. And he's holding his ear. So.
Uh-oh. Oh my God. That would be funny.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about Rosemary and Lee. And so we met Lee's sister last season. So I don't know if we're going to see more of her or what's going on. But we did find out he's going to injure his back, and they did say that a new visitor makes Rosemary reflect on her life. And Pascal said in an interview that the characters are going in new directions, uncharted waters. So lots of stuff there. What do you think about where Rosemary and Lee are going to end up, Caroline?
I'm hoping babies, children, adoption. I want to see Rosemary and Leo's parents so bad, because Lee will just melt, I think, if he has a little girl. So I just want to see all that. And another preview Lee's sister does come back. Okay. Another preview that I saw. Yeah.
Okay. That'll be good. That'll be good. Yeah. What do you think about Rosemary and Lee, Ruth?
Oh, I'm looking forward to whatever happens with them. I mean, they, I adore them. I think as I think about it, I know this is kind of a predictable storyline, but I still would love to see it happen, is that they adopt a child and then like at the end of the season, she's pregnant or something like that. I know that's predictable, but I know that it also, it is what happens.
It's real life.
It does happen where the couple are, you know, they seem to be infertile. They seem to not be able to have kids. They go ahead and they adopt, and then all of a sudden it's like they relax into that, and they're so happy that then they end up getting it. They end up getting pregnant. It happens so often in real life. So
that happened to my parents. Like were getting ready to start adoption process, and they found out they were pregnant with triplets, and like, nope.
Oh my goodness. Oh. So I personally think that'd be kind of fun. It would, and I think it'd be great to see Lee and Rosemary have more than just one child anyway. I think I mean could you imagine, actually that'd be like lots of fun if you could imagine they adopt one and then like she's pregnant with twins or something, and then they all of a sudden I would, can you imagine?
Yeah, Rosemary would be hilarious.
Oh my goodness, it'd be great.
Rosemary would be so funny as a a mom of multiples, I feel like, or
love to see Pascal play the pregnant as Rosemary. That would just be so funny. And Lee and Kevin's facial expressions would just make me
I think that would be really fun. So we have new to Hope Valley, the big kind of new players, our family called the Canfields. And this is a Black family in Hope Valley, and it stars Viv Leacock and Natasha Burnett as the mother and father, Joseph and Minnie. And then it actually has Viv Leacock's children playing their children, which is really interesting. So Vienna and Elias are playing Angela and Cooper, and Angela is blind. The blind character. So that must have been pretty challenging for Vienna to play a blind character. And I know some people have issues with able-bodied people playing people with special needs. I think it's always obviously preferred to hire, if you're going to have a blind character, hire a blind actress. But I think it's fine if it is handled well and it's handled tastefully and tactfully. I mean, obviously that's not something I can speak to whether it's accurate or not, because I'm not blind. So but it'll be interesting to see how people, I guess, respond to that and how that's all handled. I know that Erin said that one of her favorite parts of the season was playing with how Elizabeth kind of helped Angela and in the school, and that's a lot kind of going on with them. What do you think about that, Caroline?
I'm excited to meet the Canfields. Like, I've been excited to meet them since we found out they were going to be playing on the show. And I love Viv Leacock, and I'm excited to see him in Hope Valley. And his kids are adorable. And I love Natasha too. She's very sweet. And because she's been in a couple Hallmark movies. So I'm excited to see her.
But. Yeah, going all the way back to The Bridge. I actually got a chance to interview her this week, and she's really a lovely person. And so I think that's going to be neat. And
She played Kevin's friend in the dog movie with
Love at First Bark or something like that.
So it'd be fun to see them together if they have scenes together.
If you watch, of course, now I've lost the name of the movie. Is it called Harvest Moon or
Harvest Moon?
Okay, yeah, she's like got one little part right in the beginning, and that was the first time I ever saw her, and we connected because of that. And so I've been watching her career, and I was so happy because she's been over in England and has not been doing as much in this country. And
yeah, she was quarantining in the UK, and that's where she filmed her audition and everything like that. Yeah. And
that's neat. I didn't know that.
Well, and I just, it can't hurt to have Viv playing with his children as far as creating a sense of family and chemistry and all of that. And we love Viv. He's been on our show. He's so nice. And he hasn't been able to do much since the Haley Deans. We haven't seen him. Maybe there's been in a few, but that was the last time we saw him in a major role. Right. So it's going to be fun to see him again in this.
Yeah. I think he's only been, he did it like a couple episodes of Batwoman last season. But because he popped up and he and I are close. I mean, but I was so excited, man. I know when I found out that he was in the show, I was thrilled. And I'm sure for those that might be concerned about, you know, I hadn't even really thought about the issues of, his daughter playing someone who's blind and that being an issue, because I forget sometimes about some of those issues. But I think it's also good to realize that with COVID and everything, it probably made a lot of sense to cast his kids as his kids.
And I think Natasha was saying they had consultants and, people helping with that whole process. Yeah. So I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm optimistic that they'll do a good job with that. That I think it's going to be hopefully a good addition to Hope Valley.
Yeah.
Another character that we're going to see a bunch more from, I think, is with Allie. Jada has, according to Kevin, tough scenes, and according to Kevin, nails them.
Of course.
So
this is Jada. My goodness. The next Hallmark star. As in leading star.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for years.
She's definitely the lead teenager. Kid. Yeah. She's definitely.
Oh yeah. Well, she's gonna. I've told her for many years now, and I've told her dad that I believe when she's an adult, she's going to be the next, the next big leading star in Hallmark, if that's what she wants.
I think she's great. I think the dynamic between, I think there is good chemistry between her and Kevin, Nathan and Allie. Yeah. And we get to see that dynamic of Nathan as he parents Allie. And I guess that she has a little romance even, which is kind of exciting because they've had all these teen characters now, and we've kind of been wondering when they were going to introduce something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be really fun, I think.
Uncle Nathan's heart probably can't handle that.
I think that, that Nathan's probably going to freak out a little bit. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Because she's probably, how old in the show? 14?
I was going to say 13.
13, something like that. Yeah. And
she was 10 when it started.
Kevin said they are even stronger in season 8, and what happens at the beginning of the season makes him commit even more to being her parent. So that will be interesting. Another character, we already talked a little bit about Gowan. So we're going to have him with Lucas, and the company is kind of, I think, going to be the main thrust of his story there. And the Taylor twins back as baby Jack. So that's going to be fun. They're more independent.
Not so baby Jack.
They were saying on the video that they're expressing more of their personality. So that could be fun.
They're three. That would be tough.
They're not hardly even babies anymore.
Mm-mm.
No. And so then last group, I think, to talk about is we didn't talk about. So Nathan, I guess, is summoned for an inquiry by a Mountie from his past. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be interesting. So there's going to be some kind of court proceedings going on. And so that should be good. But the last main group is Jesse and Clara. Mm-hmm. And I guess the big the big disruptor in town is a motorcycle. Jesse starts motorcycling. And we also, according to Ava, we learned that Jesse made a big mistake, is what she said. So, but Ruth, are you excited to see Jesse with his motorcycling ways?
Oh yeah. I'm just hoping that Lee can join him. because we haven't seen Lee on a motorcycle, but anyway.
Right.
That would have been great. Could you imagine though, Rosemary with Lee on a motorcycle? Now, you know, she was really cool in the beginning, but I think it'd be great to see all the guys in town on motorcycles. They can have a Hope Valley motorcycle gang, right?
Yeah. It'd be like Wild Hogs, when calls the Heart Edition.
Why not? I think it'd be great. I'm not saying that would happen, but I think it'd be funny though. It'd just be fun if they were all able to if that became the thing. Maybe not for this season, maybe in future seasons. Maybe Jesse will start something. Maybe they'll all think this is a cool thing, and maybe next season they could all go, not that they do anything nefarious, but it'd be really cool if they could all like go motorcycle together with the guys bonding or something, you know. I think it'd be great. I mean, not that
a bachelor weekend.
I love the ladies, but it would be great to have like a guy bonding time. But okay,
that would be really fun. I would love that. Get them all, get Bill, get everybody out on the motorcycles.
Okay. I love it. Okay. You see Nathan on a motorcycle though.
Yeah. And so last season, Jesse, he had the land that he'd gotten, but then he ended up selling it to Gowan. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if he'll try now again to purchase more land, or if there'll be something kind of involving that, I would think, coming up. Mm-hmm. So he can have a house. Because right now they're living above the cafe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
They're running out of places for characters to live. Right.
So there we go. I think we covered everything. Do you have anything else, Caroline?
I'm just excited to finally see the season. So,
I know. Yeah. Me too. We're all very excited here at the podcast. So let us know if you think we missed something, then let us know in the comments or on Twitter. We'd love to hear your thoughts and tell us what team you're on. And if you're excited for all the different things that we talked about, we'd love to hear your thoughts. So thanks so much, ladies. We're excited to be covering the season with you. And Caroline, where can people find you?
At Twitter, at Mita Caroline R.
Great. And Ruth?
Oh, well, you can find me. I have a website, Media from the Heart, which is mydevotionalthoughts.net. And then on Twitter and Instagram, it's Ruth Hill 74. And then on Facebook, if you look up Media from the Heart or My Devotional Thoughts, it's kind of listed both ways. You can find me.
Oh, great. Okay, perfect. We'll have all that in the description section. Make sure you check it out. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate that. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. And make sure you click that bell icon so that you get notified of our latest updates and latest videos. And we also have our patron group, which is so fun. We have our watch-alongs. We have our other benefits that the patrons get. We also have our merch store, which has tons of Hardee's-inspired merch. So please take a look at that over there. All that information will be in the description section. And so thanks a lot, everybody. And we'll talk to you all later. Bye.